Welcome to Zichu Dav Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechas Erevin Dav Lamed Ches. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah in the Perek introduces a Machlokas, whether two separate Erevin are required in a case when Yantav falls on either Friday or Sunday. Rabbi Yezer holds that an Erev can be made for one day without the other, or for both days in different locations. The Chachamim hold that only a single Erev can be used, and it must be in effect for both days, otherwise one should not make an Erev. In the Gemara, the Chachamim challenged Rabbi Gezer by saying that just as he agrees that one cannot make two separate eruvs for the same day, to be half of the day in the north and half the day in the south, since a person cannot have two makom shvisos on the same day, so too he should agree that one cannot make two separate eruvs for two separate days. Rabbi Gezer answers, Hasim kedusha achas, hacha shtei kedushas. There, in the case of one day, it's a single period of kedusha. Whereas in the case of Yantav and Shabbos, there are two separate periods of Kedusha. Point number two, in a Braisa, Rabbi Yezer challenged the Chachamim and asked, since they agree, Shim Ir Baragov B'Yom Rishon, that if one made his Erev with his presence on the eve of the first day by staying in the desired location until night, if he wishes to extend his Erev for the second day, he must make the Erev with his presence again on the eve of the second day. And similarly, they agree that if one made his Erev with food on the first day and it was consumed, he would not be permitted to leave the city's tchum on the second day. So the Chachamim seemingly agree that Yantav and Shabbos are two separate periods of Kedusha. The Gemara answers, Rabbanan Sepukim and Safek Aluhu. The Rabbanan are unsure whether there are two separate periods of Kedusha or one, and therefore they ruled Lechumra in both cases. And point number three, when Rav Huna died, Rav Chisda entered the study hall and asked, if Rav really said that the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of the four Zakenim, who follow Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that Yantav and Shabbos are two separate Kedushas, if so, this would contradict another ruling of Rav, who said that when Shabbos and Yantav occur on consecutive days, an egg laid on the first day is forbidden on the second day, which implies that Rav holds that the 2 days are one period of Kedusha. Otherwise, what's laid on one day should be permitted on the next. So Rabbi answered that in Rav's ruling regarding the egg's forbidden because of a hachana, meaning that it's forbidden to derive benefit from an item on Shabbos and Yantav that was prepared on an immediately preceding Shabbos or Yantav. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next mission of the Perek introduces Machlokas whether two separate Erevin are required in a case when Yantav falls on either Friday or a Sunday. Rabbi Yezer holds that an Erev can be made for one day without the other, or for both days in different locations. The Chachamim hold that only a single Erev can be used, and it must be in effect for both days, otherwise an Erev should not be used. In the Gemara, the Chachamim challenge Rabbi Yezer by saying that just as he agrees that one cannot make two separate Erevs for the same day to be half the day in the north and half the day in the south, since a person cannot have two makom shvisos on the same day, so too he should agree that one cannot make two separate Erevs for two separate days. Rabbi Yezer answers, Hasim kedusha achas, hacha shtei kedushos. There, in the case of one day, it's a single period of kedusha, whereas in the case of Yantav and Shabbos, there are two separate periods of kedusha. Point number two, in a braisa, Rabbi Yezer challenged the Chachamim, asked that since they agree, Shim Ira Barago B'Yom Rishon, that if one made his Erev with his presence on the eve of the first day by staying in the desired location until night, if he wishes to extend his Erev for the second day, he must make the Erev with his presence again on the eve of the second day. And similarly, they agree that if one made his Erev with food on the first day and it was consumed, he would not be permitted to leave the city's tchum on the second day. So the Chachamim seemingly agree that Yantav and Shabbos are two separate periods of Kedusha. The Gemara answers, Rabbanan Sepukim Safek Aluhu. The Rabbanan are unsure whether there are two separate periods of Kedusha or one, and therefore they ruled Lechumra in both cases. And point number three, when Rav Huna died, Rav Chisda entered the study hall and asked if Rav really said that the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of the four Zakenim, who follow Rabbi Yezer's opinion that Yantav and Shabbos are two separate Kedushos. If so, this would contradict another ruling of Rav, who said that when Shabbos and Yantav occur on consecutive days, an egg laid on the first day is forbidden on the second day, which implies that Rav holds that the 2 days are one period of Kedusha. Otherwise, what's laid on one day should be permitted on the next. Rabbi answered that in Rav's ruling regarding the egg's forbidden because of Hachana, meaning that it's forbidden to derive benefit from an item on Shabbos or Yantav that was prepared on an immediately preceding Shabbos or Yantav. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Lamed Ches, and the simon is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The Babi, who prepared two pots of chicken soup as Erevin for the two separate Kedushas of Yantav and Shabbos as a Chumrah because of a Safek, didn't eat the egg on Shabbos that was laid on Yantav because of Hachana. Once again, in slow motion. The Bubby who prepared two pots of chicken soup. Chicken soup? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Ches. The Bubby who prepared two pots of chicken soup as Erevin for the two separate Kedushos of Yantav and Shabbos, which reminds us that the reason that Rebbe Eliezer forbids setting up two Erevin for the same day, one to be used for half the day and the other for the other half a day, is because a single day is one period of Kedusha, whereas when Yantav and Shabbos are consecutive, Rebbe Eliezer holds that they are two separate Kedushos. So the Bubby prepared two pots of chicken soup as Erevin for the two separate Kedushos of Yantav and Shabbos as a Chumrah because of a Safek, which reminds us that the reason that the Chachamim hold that if one made his Erev with his presence on the eve of the first day, he must do it again on the eve of the second day, and that if the Erev was consumed on the first day, he would not be permitted to leave the city's Tchum on the second day, is that they were in Safek whether Yantav and Shabbos are two separate Kedushos or only one, and therefore they went with Chumrah. So the Bubby prepared two pots of chicken soup as Erevin for the two separate Kedushos of Yantav and Shabbos as a Chumrah because of a Safek, didn't eat the egg on Shabbos that was laid on Yantav because of Hachana, which reminds us that Rav held like Rabbi Eliezer that Yantav and Shabbos are two separate Kedushos, and the reason Rav held that if Shabbos and Yantav were on consecutive days, an egg laid on the first day is forbidden on the second day, is not because he holds that they are one period of Kedusha, rather it's because of Hachana. So once again, the Bubby prepared two pots of chicken soup as Erevin for the two separate Kedushos of Yantav and Shabbos as a Chumrah because of a Safek, didn't eat the egg on Shabbos that was laid on Yantav because of a Chana. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Lamed Daled. So the symbol Lamed Daled is a ladder. A ladder. So here goes. The strange man who climbed a ladder. A ladder? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The strange man who climbed a ladder to make his Makam Shvisa on top of a closet, which reminds us on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Erev in a basket is valid even if it is above 10 fachim in a tree, which is 4 fachim wide, since the basket can be tilted downward, bringing the Erev within 10 fachim in the ground, which is the din of a karmelis, and thereby making it accessible to bring it into Rishus of Rabbim during Bein HaShemashos. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yirmiyah based on a braisa that states that if one intended to establish his Makam Shvisa, his Shabbos residence, on top of a closet, which was placed against a wall, and he placed the Erev in the closet below 10 tefachim, which Rashi explains means at height of 9 tefachim, in a place people use to adjust their loads, which is the status of Rishus HaRabim, the Erev is invalid. The Erev is in Rishus HaRabim and requires to be transferred to the top of the closet, which is Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara asks why the Erev is not valid, being that one may tilt the closet, as Rabbi Yirmiyah stated. Rabbi Yirmiyah answered that the closet mentioned in the braisa was nailed to the wall, making it impossible to tilt the closet. Rava answered that even if the closet was not nailed to the wall, the Erev would still be invalid since the braisa was discussing a tall closet, that if one would tip the top forward, it would extend more than Daled Amos from the wall, and then he would not be within 4 Amos of the place that he had designated as his Makam Shvisa. So the strange man who climbed a ladder to make his Makam Shvisa on top of a closet and then accidentally dropped his Erev into a deep pit, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis stated that if one placed an Erev in a pit, even if it was 100 amos deep, the Erev is valid. The Gemara seeks to determine where this pit was located. If it was in Rishus HaYachid, then why does the Mishnah state that even if the pit is 100 amos deep, just as the Rishus HaYachid extends all the way up to the heavens, so too does it extend all the way downwards, and therefore there's no chiddush in saying that even if the pit is 100 amos deep. On the other hand, if the pit is in Rishus HaRabim, then it's obvious that the Erev is invalid since the person's Makam Shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim and the Erev is in Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara concludes that the pit is in a karmelis, and the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe who holds that kol davar shemishum shvus will gazru la bein hashmashos. Any Shabbos prohibition, which is a derabbanan, is not forbidden during bein hashmashos. So the strange man who climbed a ladder to make his Makam Shvisa on top of a closet and then accidentally dropped his Erev into a deep pit forgot where he put the key for his closet made of bricks that he needed to get a rope from. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nasim b'migdav v'avid ha-mafteach, if he placed the Erev in a closet, and then he locked it, and then he lost the key, making the Erev inaccessible, according to the Tanakhama, the Erev is still valid. Rabbi Yezer said that if he doesn't know where the key is, it is not a valid Erev. The Gemara asks why the Erev should be valid according to the Tanakhama, since his Makam Shvisa is in one place and the Erev is in another. Rashi explains that even though they're both in Rishus HaYachid, the Erev is still inaccessible, making it as if they're in two different places. Rav and Shmuel both say that the case is dealing with a closet made of bricks and is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Poches L'Chilchil V'Noto, that if a house of produce was sealed, making the produce inaccessible on Yantav, one may break through the wall and take the fruit. The Gemara clarifies that the bricks of the house were not cemented together, so breaking the wall would not be violating Soser of demolishing. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simcha Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir sang la la la. Children's choir singing la la la. That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hey. The children's choir sang la 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 when they finally got their Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, which reminds us, the Gemara brings two more explanations for the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yezer regarding an Erev locked in a closet and the key is lost. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say, Hacha b'migdol shel etzoskin, we're dealing with a closet made of wood. The Tanakama holds that it's a kli, and ein binyan b'kelim v'ein stir b'kelim, and the malacha of building and destroying does not apply to utensils. Therefore, the person may break open the closet even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yezer holds the closet is an oil, which may not be demolished on Shabbos or Yantav. The Erev is invalid because it's inaccessible. Abai and Rava both say, B'manu b'katu b'masna askinen. We're dealing with a closet that has a lock, which is tied with a rope, and a knife is needed to cut the rope. The Tanakhama held like Rabbi Yossi, who said, Kol kelim nitam b'Shabbos, all kelim may be taken on Shabbos, except for muksa machmas chesron kis. Therefore, a knife can be used to cut the rope. Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Nechemya, who holds that kelim can only be taken letzorach tashmishan for their primary use. Therefore, the knife cannot be used. So the children's choir sang la 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 when they finally got the Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, but stopped when it blew away and got crushed under a heap of stones. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nisgalgo chutz l'tchum, if the Erev rolled beyond the tchum, the nafal of gal or a heap of rubble fell on it. If this occurred while it's still day, it is not a valid Erev. If it occurred after dark, it is a valid Erev. The Gemara clarifies that in the first case, the Erev rolled beyond Dalet Amos from the edge of the Tchum. And in the second case, according to Rebbe, it was a case where he needed a hoe and a pick to excavate the Erev, which is the Issur d'Oraisa of digging. If it was just a case of moving the rocks by hand, it would be permissible to do, according to Rebbe, during Bein HaShmashos. The Gemara explains that both cases are needed. The case of Nisgalgo Chutz L'Tchum teaches that even if a wind could blow back inside the Tchum, the Erev is still invalid. The case of Nafal of Gal teaches that even though it's physically within the Tchum, the Erev is not valid. So the children's choir sang la 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 when they finally got the Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, but stopped when it blew away and got crushed under a heap of stones, which had been dislodged by men who were measuring the Tchum by a mountain. Which reminds the Mishnah introduced the Malchus when it is suffering when the Erev became inaccessible, with Rebbe Meir going l'chumra and prohibiting the use of the Erev. The Gemara clarifies that Rebbe Meir goes l'chumra because he holds Tchumim are deraisa. The Gemara questions this based on Rebbe Meir saying that one may use the lenient method of Makadrim Baharim for measuring the Tchum. This method involves viewing a mountain as if it was drilled through and is only permitted in Durabanan cases. So how could Rebbe Meir permit this if he holds Tchumim Ar Deraisa? The Gemara answers that Rebbe Meir himself holds that Tchumim Ar Deraisa, and he was only quoting his Rebbeim who permitted Makadrim Baharim because they held Tchumim Ar Durabanan. Daf Lamed Vav. So the symbol of Lamed Vav is a lulav, So here goes. The two lulavim, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Vav. The two lulavim floating in the mikvah with the questionable 40 saw, which reminds us, the Gemara points out a difficulty that on the previous Daf, Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah regarding an Erev Tchumim, which is a Durabanan, that Safek Erev Lekula, whereas in the Mishnah brought from Mikvos, he holds Safek Tumu Lechumra with a Tumah Durabanan. Rav Huna Bar Chinina said, Sha'ani Tumah Hovi Yeshua Iker Min HaTorah. Tumah Durabanan is different since it's a concept rooted in a Deraisa, meaning that there's a Tumah Deraisa, and therefore we are Machmer, even by Tumah Durabanan, so that one will not come to be lenient by doubtful tefillah when he is Tamid Midaraisa. Erev Tchumim, however, is purely a Durabanan innovation. The Gemara provides two additional answers. So the two lulavim floating the mikvah with a questionable 40 saw had two loaves of truma stuck on each of them, one tower and one tame. Which reminds us, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Huna that if one had two loaves of truma, one tame and one tower, and he didn't know which was which, and after placing the two loaves at the edge of the tchum, he said, let my Erev be made with a tahor loaf, whichever one it is the Erev valid? Rav Huna answered that according to both Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, be'inin suda haruyim ba'od yom v'leika, we require a meal that is suitable while it is still day on Friday, and it is not in this case, meaning that since he doesn't know which loaf is the tahor one, he's not permitted to eat either of them. Therefore, the Erev was not suitable to eat at the time that he placed it. Rashi explains that in the Mishnah's case of a Safek, the Erev was suitable at the time that he placed it. So the two lulavim floating in the mikvah with a questionable 40 saw had two loaves of truma stuck on each of them, one tahor and one tame, and were taken to opposite sides of the city to be used as erevin. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces the concept of brera, of retroactive designation shows how it may be used in the case of placing an Erev. A person may place two Erevin in opposite directions of his Makom Shvisa and say, if a Chacham comes from the east, my Erev is to the east. If he comes from the west, my Erev is to the west. If one Chacham comes from the west and the other from the east, L'makom she'eretz ha'elach, I shall go to the place I choose on Shabbos. This means that the Erev which is in the direction he chooses will be retroactively valid and the other void. Rav Yehuda said that in the case of the two Chachamim that come from different directions, if one was his Rebbe, he must go to his teacher. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we assume that he wanted the Erev that was in the direction of his Rebbe to take effect. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simple Lamed Zayin is laser tag. Laser tag. So here goes. The laser tag champ. Laser tag. That must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. The laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas of Maestras, which reminds me, we learned on Daf Lamed Vavim and Beis. The Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah holds of the concept of Brera. The Gemara there brought a statement from Rav that the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda is incorrect, based on a brisa that I taught that indicate that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Brera. The Gemara here brings another source that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the validity of Brera from a Tosefta that states that if one bought a barrel of wine from Kusim, and he has no kelim to separate Trumas and Maestras, Rabbi Meir says he should say, two lugin, which I shall separate in the future from these 100 lugin of wine, are hereby designated as Truma. 10 lugin, which I shall separate later, are designated now as Maaser Rishon. 9 lugin are designated now as Maaser Sheni immediately by transferring its Kedusha on the coins. And after doing this, the person may immediately drink, provided he leaves over enough wine for the various separations. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon forbid this because they reject the concept of Brera. So we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the validity of Brera. Ula disputes this version of the Tosefta and says that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir that Brera is valid. So the laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maestras successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team, to go beyond the Tchum, which reminds us, Rava asked Rav Nachman who the Tana was in a Braisa that does not accept the concept of Brera, even with regard to the Rabbanan. The Braisa taught that if one said to five people, I'm making an error for whomever of you that I shall later choose, the one I have chosen will be permitted to go beyond the Tchum, and the ones I have chosen will not be permitted to go beyond the Tchum. If he chooses while it's still Friday, the Erev is valid, whereas if he chose once it became dark, the Erev is invalid. Clearly, the time this Braisa rejects the validity of Brera, even for the Rabbanan of Tchum. Rav Nachman did not know who the Tana was. The Gemara asks why Rav Nachman doesn't tell Rava the Tana comes from the school of Io, and answers that Rav Nachman had not heard of Io's version of Rabbi Yehuda. So the laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maestras successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team to go beyond the Tchum and share the message that Brera never works for derises or for derabanans. Which reminds us, the Gemara addresses conflicting braises, one in which Rabbi Shimon does not accept the concept of Brera, and one in which he does, and suggests that the rulings in one braise are reversed so that Rabbi Shimon is consistent in not accepting the concept of Brera. The Gemara questions the need for this solution, since it could have been suggested that Rabbi Shimon does not hold a Brera in a Deraisa case, such as the case of separating Trumas and Maestras, but does accept it in the Rabbanan, such as in the case of Tchum, and answers that the Amor who reversed the rulings holds that the one who accepts Brera holds it applies in both Deraisas and the Rabbanans, and the one who rejects Brera rejects it for both Deraisas and the Rabbanans. All right, now it's time to go to our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf do you learn what the din is if the Erev was blown away or under a heap of rubble? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that Rebbe holds an Erev in a basket above 10 tefachim in a thin tree is valid because of Chokeking L'Hashlim? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you have the Mishnah that introduces Brera in Erevin, where one puts two Erevin on opposite directions of his Makom Shvisa and makes a Tanai? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the case of Brera with a kusi wine and making the verbal declaration of the intent to separate Trumas and Maestras later? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that Rebbe Gezer holds the Yantav and Shabbos are two separate Kedushos? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that Rebbe Yirmi holds that even an Erev in a basket above 10 tefachim in a tree is valid because one can tip the basket downward so that the Erev is in a carmel? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you learn that Rav held that the reason an egg laid on Shabbos is prohibited if the next day's Yantiv is because of Hachana? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that Rebbe Meir goes to Chumra in a case of a Suffolk Erev and he himself holds Makadrin Baharim is not permitted for measuring the Tchum? That's on daf Lamed Hey, good number nine. Which time in the Mishnah's case of an area in a pit that was 100 amos deep was when the pit was in a carmelis? That's on Duff. Lamed Dalet. Good. And number 10, which time in the one cannot make an error for one of a group of people and then choose which person it is for on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which time in the hatmana can be done for cold food? That's on Duff. Nun Aleph and Shabbos. Good. Number two, which daf do we have in Malchukas? How to draw water onto a boat? That's on Duff. Kuf Aleph and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which daf do we have when the one should not walk in front of someone davening? That's on Duff. Chav Zayin and Brachos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman from Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.